And Photon Nico asks, how do you make a podcast? Is it a good idea? Should I make a podcast? Tom, do you want to cover maybe the process of our recordings and all that kind of stuff? What do we do?
Tom, keep talking. I'm just going to go grab my charger.
Okay. Yeah.
So you carry on.
First thing we always do, we will make fun of Caroline for like an hour or so.
Yeah,
and
maybe
like,
2 hours. Then when...
probably 2 hours, yeah.
Welcome to Let's Learn Everything, a show where we learn anything and everything interesting about us.
Ooh.
That's me. I'm us. I'm part of us.
Just you, Tom.
If you insist. It's the holiday season, and to allow us time to rest our weary heads, we'll be answering your questions instead of our own. These are posted to our Discord, and... my name is Ella, and today we'll be answering what happens to the podcast after we learn everything.
After we complete the prime directive of the podcast. My name's Tom, and I'm going to be asking y'all, what other Max Fun podcasts do you enjoy? And are you planning on doing any crossover episodes with other Max Fun creators?
Ooh, that's a good question. My name's Caroline, and today I'll be answering, does working in science ruin watching movies when they try to use science but do it very poorly, along with a lot of other questions, I'm sure.
Yes, we have lots of questions, and we'll come back to each of those in time. But let's start with the first on the list. This is from The Bowtie.
Oh, hi, Bowie.
I see them all the time in the Discord.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
What has been your favorite LLE topic thus far, and why?
Ooh, that's
such a good one.
I'm going to have to pull up the episodes.
Me too, yeah.
Well, fortunately for me, I have the Let's Learn Everything, Every Topic poster that you can grab at letslearneverythingpod.com/store.
Oh, you're
I'm
cheating.
I'm looking at it now. I am cheating.
That's not fair.
I will say, I did do the math on sort of like how many topics we've done this year, because the last time we did the Q&A, we had only done like 4 episodes, I think. But now it's been a big old year for us, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I have a lot of favorites. So no one take this with any offense. By no one, I mean you two. But I would say the ones that like stick with me the most are the ones that stick with me the most are the ones that I take out. Like I think about them in my like day to day life and how they like affect me. So one that has
PowerPoint
always been my favorite is what's it
it's
called?
It's the triangle, isn't it?
Yeah,
oh,
I use that in my day to day life constantly. No, it's what the Turing test became, Tom's topic. Because I because
that,
I literally
that surprises me.
Constantly think about the cat Google captures. Like it infuriates me just every single day, because it's something you do every day. So I think about it all the time. All the time.
Well, I think it should. I think it's good to infuriate you, because it's sort of like one of those subtle things that that software does it, and knowing that they're doing it is, you know, how potentially one day it could change. But sorry, but not sorry.
And then similarly, the one that Caroline did on bees about I also think about that a lot.
Bring that one up. Yeah.
Yeah, that does.
You can't bring your own topic up as a favorite.
I know. But like space babies, another one of my favorite ones.
Well, one thing I was curious about is because I feel like it is always surprising, like, which ones are our favorites versus other people's favorites.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I am curious what your favorite one you've done is, and if that's different from our answers. Because, Ella, Turing test would not be one of mine, and at least not off the bat.
Mm.
But, and I guess it is also very interesting, because, especially this year, we've done a lot of topics that are sort of, like, stretching outside of our domains.
Yeah, totally.
And I feel like with Turing test, I was going back into computer science. And so for me, it's like, oh, this is just like another computer thing. But I always forget that that's not things that y'all studied for 4 years like I did.
Yeah,
I agree. Like when I talk about, when I've talked about chimeras or anything to do with like cells and stuff like that, I don't find it that interesting when I'm doing it. But I assume that you guys like it. So
The one... Even just, with the counting how many cells are in the human body, just talking about cells.
So good, yeah.
Just, like, knowing, like, how many different types and, like, their average mass, I was like, oh, this is fun. And if it is something that I did learn in high school already and maybe just, like, forgot about it, it's a different vibe explaining it with y'all. So it's really, I really do like covering that stuff. I still haven't answered the question. Should I answer the question?
Yeah, you should answer the question.
We have 4 pages of questions, Tom, so...
Oh my gosh. Okay. Science of Gay was really fun.
Yeah.
I loved how cross-cutting it was and how I all of our topics, I feel like we love talking about like the social considerations of things and like the meta-science-ness of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that one is such a great like science and social topic in one.
Yeah.
But it was really, really fun and also really great to There was great scientific beef in it. It hit all the things of a good topic bingo card, I think.
Aww. On the other end of that, all of the things we left on the moon is something I talk about constantly.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Also because like it's relevant to where I work as well. So like people will be like, because we've got at work this big orrery, which is like a very simple model of our solar system. It's got like a massive sun and then an earth and a moon. And I never know what to talk about it because it's so simple. And I'm just like, you know what I'm gonna talk about? All of the shit we left on the moon. So I still bring it up all the time.
I gotta say, that topic was so funny to me because in my mind, it felt just like a list, you know, until the end, I think there's some closing to it. But I kept being so amazed that like everything on the list, y'all had some insight or a joke or something to talk about it with. And that was, for me, like a big lesson in like remembering that like, when, you know, we'll get into it. I'm sure there's questions about writing topics, but like, so maybe I'll talk about it then. But I was just, that was just very fun to hear everyone's reaction. I totally underestimated how much you guys would hate there being American flags on the moon. That wasn't even like planned as
just
like, I didn't have like.
Everybody at work hates it too. So
Caroline's telling all the children that come into the science museum. Okay, guys, as much as I love you guys telling each other how much you love each other's topics. Thanks. Move on.
Space babies as well, Ella.
Thanks.
Love your topic.
Yeah. Space babies is really good.
I love it, yeah.
Too,
yeah, throw that in there. Thanks very much, guys. Thanks, whatever.
I'm kidding.
Okay, so the next question is from Chem Boy, but the O in boy is a little like chemical element symbol or something. Very cool.
That's cool.
And the question, this is a very quick question. What are the hex codes of your favorite colors?
Hashtag FDAD69, baby.
Oh, fuck's sake.
No, I don't know the hex code of my favorite color, but I thought Tom would be able to tell me.
No, let's do this. Let's do this. Describe it, and I'll give you the hex code, and you tell me how
it's
close I
am. It's
kind
of like a mustard yellow. I would say like a mustard yellow. Oh, yeah, I think probably both of us.
I'll give it my best shot.
Is that all three of us?
Yeah.
we have discovered that all three of our favorite colors is the correct answer, which is yellow.
Yeah. So if you give me a hex yellow, code, then I will type it in.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. So yellow is a combination of red and green. Mustardy yellow. So I'm going to say like, I'm going to give it like a 180, 180.
180, 180.
70. Maybe like 150, 150, 50, actually. Let's try 150, that.
150, 150, 50.
That might be a little too dark.
It's a bit dark. It's a bit dark, Tom.
It's a bit dark?
Yeah, I would say. And that hex is 969632.
Probably more red to get it some.
Okay, 250, 236, 80.
Oh, wow.
So the RGB is 255, 2380.
And this, listeners, is why I hesitated from doing a topic on color. Because it's this.
Wow, this is so boring. I hope you enjoyed that. Okay.
We've all learned a lesson here.
If you cut this, Tom, then you have to at least indicate somehow that we've been like fade in and out. So we've been talking about this for so long that it's really
gone.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'll do like a fade and then like some intermission music or something. I know, but that is sort of a. Because once or twice people have been like, you should do a topic on like color theory and like illusions and stuff like that. And it's like, maybe one day I'll be able to thread the needle on that. But like, it's this, like, it's like
when we've learned everything, you can talk about colors.
Yeah, that's,
you know what, Tom will just
we'll
like list all of the RGB values for every color.
Imagine a color in your head. It looks like this. Do you see it? There it is. That's colors.
So the next question is from Bean Snowspring, another regular.
Oh, yeah.
Similar to the McElroy Show, wonderful. Do you guys keep a list of what topics / subtopics are covered in each episode? Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We, in fact, but just before we started on Max Fun, we went through that whole list that Tom had comprised and talked about what we thought was good and not good, which we will not do now.
No, that does not need to be public.
it's really helpful for us to be able to see them all listed, and like sometimes I'll go back to it personally just to like think about previous ones we've did, or like sometimes I'll like look at one and be like, well, what's the opposite of that?
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah, but we also don't.
Tom just like yeah, it is. Yeah.
No, that's not what I was doing.
Yeah, I know.
But what I don't look through is the, I think they mentioned subtopics. We don't keep a list of every show notes topic. That
absolutely
is completely
not.
That would be nonsense.
Yeah. That's
just an endless list of every little thing.
It's one of those things of like, oh, if we feel inspired by a small tidbit of information that one of us has said during an episode, if we aren't remembering it by the end of the episode, it's not getting
it's not happening.
Yeah, that's also true.
Basically.
Yeah. Mod of Wrath, one of our Discord mods.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Asks, does working in science ruin watching movies when they try to use science but do it very poorly?
Now, Ella, I feel like you might be the best person to answer this question.
When I first started on TikTok, I made videos about how science is portrayed in movies versus in real life. But this is a different like idea from the question. What I don't like about science in movies is the way scientists are, which is like this general kind of like wacky, wild, uncontrolled, and you know, just doing anything weird kind of portrayal.
They're one or the other often, aren't they? They're either that wacky character or this really stern, serious, or boring character.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really good point.
And actually, scientists are just normal people.
Science is just a job. And I get that isn't...
yeah, that's a great... Yeah.
And I get that isn't fun to portray.
Yeah.
But, like, we portray every other job like that.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of the wild ones. So it's kind of like, that is just what science is. As when it comes for science being wrong, I only don't like it if they're trying to explain it and they get it wrong. In science fiction, I have this rule of anything goes as long as you don't explain it to me.
Yes. Yeah.
Or the explanation is vague enough that, but as soon as you start trying to put actual science in there that clearly doesn't fit, then that's where it's like, why? Just leave it. It didn't need to be said. You don't have to try and justify this. It's fiction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The other thing for me is when there's like generic scientist character and they've said the science of that character, and then later on they become like they're knowledgeable in all science topics somehow, even though like scientists probably started specializing when they were 18 years old on the one topic that they are researching.
Yeah.
A vet student is not going to know about freaking like, I don't know, physics. Like, it doesn't happen. That's a really like silly example, but it's something you see all the time, this trope of like, scientist who is a vet can do surgery on humans and stuff like that.
The omnipotent scientist.
I will say the one First of all, the answer to this is yes. And I always have to disclose, like, I know I'm the asshole that if anyone enjoys it, that's what movies are for. As long as it's not, to Ella's point, like, actively, like, anti-science, it's fine. Especially, but the one word that it just instantly makes my eyes roll is quantum. And I really hope we're moving past that. And I do really want to, I've been trying, it's just such a monster of a topic to talk about quantum stuff and, like, finally solidify, like, what it means. But anytime that word gets used, I just
bleh.
but to your point, Ella, I do, like, if the rule system that they establish is vague enough but, like, has rules, I'm fine with it. Like, if it's a time mm-hmm. travel movie where it's like, because this and this and this, and then, like, I love this manga Chainsaw Man, and it had, the rule system is like, yeah, if you fear these devils, then that will work. I'm like, hell yeah, that makes sense. Cool, checks out. Yeah. As long as you're not trying to be like...
Keep inconsistency, internal consistency.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like picking out flaws in science movies for fun, though. Yeah, but that's just like a cinema sins kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm exactly the same if I see a character knitting or crocheting. I'm like, ooh, fucking stop. You're just doing it wrong, you know?
No, can I be completely honest? Legitimately, more than science. Science, the thing that peeves me off is anytime a character is playing music incorrectly or if they do a shot yes! where, like, you can't see their hands, I'm like, yeah, of course, Cate Blanchett's not going to be playing that musical part. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's so true.
And I will say, yeah, computer science stuff also makes me roll my eyes a little bit. Any hacking.
Oh my god.
Like,
hacking crazy.
Server stuff.
Oh my goodness.
Hacking is really, yeah.
I don't do much computer science, but computational biology, but I sometimes, well, what during my PhD I used to code in R.
Oh yes.
And I changed the color scheme to black and green so I could be there like, I'm hacking.
So you're a hacker.
I'm hacking the mainframe. Just to round this out, I just want to say, if anyone's seen The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper has two PhDs. Stupid, meaningless. You get one PhD because it's a training to become a doctor. You then go on to do science. Anyone with more than one PhD is just not good.
Wow. Yes, I knew this.
After that point, you're doing postdoctoral research on whatever it is you want to research. You
whatever,
can change your
anything.
Field.
Exactly. You can. And he's a physicist, so he probably could. He could have gone from one to the other. For some reason, he decided to become a student again for another 4 to 5 years. Just want you to know, it's not impressive, it's dumb.
Thank you for identifying the singular flaw with an otherwise perfect show.
Yeah,
the
I know.
Big Bang Theory.
I don't know why that really bothered me as soon as I, like, getting into my PhD.
I
was like, why would anyone
that,
do
so
this again? Okay, so some of the questions overlap, ooh, so I've combined them.
Lovely.
This next question is from Cosmic, Jasper, and Muri, and they ask, what is the process of choosing a topic? How do you research it in such depths? How do you know when that research is complete? And how do you have time to do this research with your jobs?
Oh, fucking hell. I just don't. I have no hobbies other than this.
Okay, so remind me of the parts of it, Ella, because I feel like each one is its own thing. Well, I want to say really quick, the one I can answer very quickly is, when do you know it's done, is when it comes out to about half an hour. Anyway, on to the other ones.
Yeah, that's totally true. So first one, what is the process of choosing a topic?
Yeah.
I feel like we all have vastly different approaches to
picking topics.
Yeah, we definitely do. Which is really interesting.
Yeah, definitely do.
So I pop open the dictionary and I'll just flip to a random page and then... No, I will say, I don't know if all of us do this. I have a big list of just like ideas, and it's very funny because I was hanging out with some friends and they were jokingly like, ha ha ha, wouldn't that be a good podcast topic? And I'm like, come on guys, seriously. And then, like, secretly I'm taking my phone out and being like, da 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 da, like actually writing it down. And those just come from, like, anywhere. It can be, like, yeah, like a suggestion one of us makes for the other on an episode, or from our question channels on the Discord, or just, like, a thing. Just, like, a thing you see. And then from there, And then from there, something happens, and then we ended up with an episode. And that's
I have a random firing of neurons on occasion, and I think that would be a good topic.
Yes!
And then I write it down and or hope I remember it. Like when I was at the pub with Caroline a couple of months ago. And we were discussing something, and it wasn't anything we discussed, but something triggered something in my head, and I was like, that would be a great MISC topic. And then I just forgot again immediately.
Gotta write it down.
We literally sat in the pub trying to figure out what your MISC was.
And that topic ended up being generational naming, which is one of my favorite topics we've ever done.
Yeah, that's mine are totally random. And it's not so much random that I think it's that I probably saw something or heard something previously that has like gotten in the back of my brain. So I think that's how it happens to me.
Sometimes it's like the third or fourth time that you hear it that you like actually. Yeah.
I also read like and listen to science news, and some of my stuff has been based on that. Mm. So
I'm pretty similar to that actually. Yeah.
Sometimes a stray article will come up on science Twitter and it'll be like, ooh, what
a lot of my ideas come from Twitter actually. Yeah.
A lot of my MISC ideas are generally something I find personally interesting anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is all of us. The next one is, how do you research it to such depths? Okay, we can talk about the resources we use.
Lots of Google Scholar.
Yeah, lots of Google Scholar. Mm-hmm. Lots of learning the keywords, like sometimes appending PDF to a search, or sometimes appending like the phrase like review. Yeah, lots of Google Scholar. I mean, you know, big sources like Wikipedia and encyclopedias are useful. Encyclopedia Britannica are useful for like getting a general overview.
Yeah, I have the Britannica a lot crops up.
Britannica so much. Yeah, totally. Especially if I'm looking for like a simple definition of something that I can use as a basis for continuing research. Britannica comes up all the time. As does Wikipedia.
I thought I didn't have a process, but I do. I very clearly do, which is like I will Google the topic, find written articles about it, like where the scientists have been quoted, and it generally summarizes it. And then I will, within that, there'll be the links to the primary articles, and I'll follow it through there. And then often within those primary articles, I don't necessarily read all of them in depth, but some of them, there'll be like other mentions of things that'll be like, oh, that is like an offshoot of this topic. And then I know that we all do this where we kind of end up like following trails. And that can be an issue because the next question.
I was just going to say.
How do you know when your research is complete? And for me, this is like the biggest issue. You don't.
Yes, 100%.
It's not really ever done, especially when you, I think Tom is probably falls into this trap the worst because you often cover like very huge topics that could go on forever. I try and keep mine, I try and think of a message or a goal at the start encapsulate the ideas so that I know where to cut myself off.
And I think that's smart.
By the time I'm physically, because I try to do a fair bit of reading before I'm writing anything. So by the time I'm writing something, I actually have a bit of a, almost like a storyboard or a plan ready to go. And the plan will change, but I will at least have these like set like headings of sections that I want to talk about. And then it's filling in all of that stuff from there.
Yeah, yeah. I ask myself questions. Okay, so what does this have? Or rather, I will ask you questions.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a question topic, I'm like, okay, how do I lead on to the next section?
Yeah.
This is where I will ask them this. This is where I'll ask them this. This is where.
Yeah.
And then I'll fill it in like that. Yeah.
Framing it through questions is very interesting like that. I definitely leave spaces for that, especially because, you know, I think, well, okay, I want to hop on something that Caroline said because I think it's so interesting is the difference between researching and writing, because so many times I will find myself like entirely engrossed in researching and have written absolutely nothing. And then like other times I will have like researched some stuff. And then as I'm writing it, I'll be like, oh, this it comes like some topics come together in the research and like some completely come together in the writing. Cause like, I mentally, personally, I have to like be like researching over for now, spend time writing it and then go back, because otherwise otherwise you get so I get so lost in one or the other. Yeah
I'm like I do some writing while I'm going, but I just copy and paste huge chunks of like information out, and then I'll just go back and kind of rewrite it all into what I need in that space, kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
I was gonna say there's definitely, for me, there's been topics that have become what they are in the writing as opposed to the researching, like the history of timekeeping. That when I was researching it was literally just like a jumble of like little factoids, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then trying to group them together and doing like the little games, like making you guys guess which came in which order and stuff like that, that was when I started to like see the how it would become a topic. And then there are other topics, very funnily, that like they become themselves in the record more than either of those. Like I was saying with the what we found on the moon, I feel like I thought it was an okay script, but I think it became an amazing topic because
I think a lot of the question topics become like that when it's when there's discussion, totally. Lots of discussion around it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to say really quickly also, God, with the wormholes that you the number of times I've spent like multiple hours trying to trace down like a single number, and then you zoom out, and then you're like, that's like half of a sentence in the final topic, and then sometimes it gets cut.
Yeah.
Or just like looking for a single source for a piece of information that I might already have in my head, and just being like, I just need something to confirm this.
Yes,
and then you're 100%. Looking for it for hours.
But do you not think that's really interesting? Because I've started topics that I haven't done on the show, because I've had this information in my head and I've gone to look at it and been like, I don't think this is right. Like there's something true-ish there, but like what I was thinking was there wasn't true, and that has
100%
that has goofed up topics before for me as well.
Because the worst is when and this goes from like the topic picking concept, which is that like have you guys ever had like a topic and you're like, I'm saving this in my back pocket because it's such a good topic, and then you like spend 10 minutes researching it and you're like, oh, this isn't anything. Like, this is a complete dud when I thought in my mind it was something. And I will say, Ella, I think you've and I'm sure there's duds that you've hidden from us, but I think it's been very clever to take us on the journey sometimes, like with counting the number of cells.
What I was going to bring up. I had that number of how many cells in the body I had in my head because I'd read it before. And then I was so confident that that was real, or that was the final answer, that when I went, I didn't even like question myself until I'd done all the other research. Because I instead of doing what I normally do, which is where I read the whole paper and take it out, I slowly went through and just like broke the paper down and wrote about it. So when I got to the end, I was like, oh, they didn't do it all. I was like, oh, it's too late now.
But I think that's amazing. I think that's one of my favorite topics because of that. And, you know, I think there's a few that especially in the world of psychology, there are definitely one or two topics that started off in the list as being like, isn't this amazing? And now they are definitely the topic of like, I can't believe we believed this, or like debunkings of things, which again are as interesting.
Oh, we should do more debunkings.
I have some planned for sure.
Caroline's, your particular debunking of that gay gene paper was, you know, was excellent.
That was fun.
So I think that kind of thing is great. One last bit to this is, how do you find time to balance this with your job? I'm going to answer for all three of us and see if I'm right. Tom and I, our jobs, we work from home a lot of the time, and we can do things in between what we do. We have a more relaxed setup. Caroline works full time with children in person. I don't know how they do it. I just don't know how they do it.
I have our lunch breaks, and then I have 40 minutes of commute time at the end of my day. And that's when stuff gets done. And if it's not getting done in the evenings, the commute time is the perfect time for it. Lunch break, trying to figure out where I don't have to do that. Maybe finding a new job. We'll see. because it's a bit of a challenge at the moment. Because when I was doing my degree, it was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Because I was working from home. Now it's like a, Ooh, yeah.
Well, you haven't given us any, just so you know, you haven't given us anything to indicate that it's gone. Like, the quality is great still.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
And, I will say also, I think, and you know, in some ways, having a thing, it gets done when it gets done. Like, because there are definitely, there are definitely topics where, like, if we didn't have the bi-weekly schedule, I would be like, oh, I need to spend like months on this, like and I think
that's
true. It is,
yeah, you can do it if you need to.
Yeah, totally. And also, you know, just to hop back to that one question, which is like, when is it done, especially when we do like bigger topics? I think whenever we try to cover a big topic, it's always from a perspective of like, we're searching and we're looking at some interesting things as opposed to like trying to be a definitive source.
Oh yeah.
I feel like all of our topics.
I don't think there's ever been a topic we've been like, here's the whole topic. It's like, we're following a thread.
Yeah.
A question or like a, you know, a curiosity within that, that part. Right.
And sometimes that's part of the topic, is the openness of it. Right. Like with magnetoreception, right? Like, there is no solid answer, and that becomes what the topic is about. But you know, at the same time, I think what's great about a topic is the fact that it can be anything, and that there isn't necessarily a pattern, that there can always be it happens. it somehow happens, it comes together.
It happens.
I'm Iffy Wadiway, the host of Maximum Film.
I'm Alonzo Duralde, also the host of Maximum Film.
And I'm Drea Clark, yet another host of Maximum Film. Every week, we hosts huddle up,
usually with an illustrious guest,
and we talk about films.
We have film news.
We have film quizzes.
We answer your film questions.
It's like the maximum amount of film talk. That's why we call it
Maximum Film!
Maximum Film, the movie podcast that's not just a bunch of straight white guys. New episodes weekly on MaximumFun.org.
Okay, Waffle asks, why does Ella, the predetermined most likely to win in a fight and smartest host, they have a doctorate, simply not consume the other two hosts, gaining their knowledge and becoming even more intelligent?
You want me to answer that? For me, it's because I'm separated by an ocean, so that's why. I don't know about Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Caroline's...
I also come with germs from working with children, and Ella doesn't want to fuck with that.
A natural self-defense mechanism. Yeah. Brilliant.
Uh-huh. This is why yellow is my favorite color. It's actually a warning to other people to not consume me.
Yeah, Tom would already be dead if he wasn't across the world from me.
Oh, good grief.
And I'm the strongest but simple-minded, so I see Caroline in yellow and I get confused.
Is it Caroline or is it the sun? I can't tell.
Although, to be fair, they did say I also was the smartest host, so just FYI. I like that they remembered this from the last Q&A episode.
Gotta check in every year. It could change next year. We'll see.
It never will. Oh.
If one of us dies in like completely normal circumstances, it was still Ella. Just putting that out there.
That's probably fair. So Jeeves asks, for Caroline and Ella, do you have recommendations for some things to do and places to eat in London that aren't the obvious tourist spots? And for Tom, the same in NYC, assuming that they've gone to the main places already.
I would love this. Did I ever tell you guys the story that I when I went to London for like a few days, I did extremely the touristy things but to the point where when we got to the Airbnb, I was with a friend and we were like, oh, is there like a place we can eat, like a local spot around here? And they pointed and they were like, yes, you see that restaurant over there with the star on it? And it was a Pret.
It was a Pret.
and we were just like, no. So I have not had anything close to the real British experience. So I'm very curious to hear this.
That's good. You see that restaurant with the golden arches?
That's literally what they said. Oh my god.
I feel like for answering this question, I still don't technically really live in London.
Right.
I live outside of London. So this is also, I'm still doing the touristy stuff. If anybody Yay. Ever wants to come to the Science Museum to do touristy stuff there, you're going to have a lovely time. Although the Natural History Museum does have dinosaurs. So, like, can we really
But we
compete?
Assume you've been to those things before if you've been to London as well.
Yeah, totally.
It's like my favourite place in London. So if I was going to do, like, a little trip, I would walk down the Thames on the South Bank and go to the Tate Modern, which you might have been to already, but the Tate Modern is my favourite place in London because it is both beautiful and ridiculousness all wrapped into one. And then kind of walk down there. There's the South Bank Centre where they do some theatre. They normally have like a market outside of there. Really nice, lovely place. And then for eating, go to Brixton, which is not quite central because there's lots of good Afro-Caribbean food. There you
nice.
Go. Tom?
Beautiful.
Rock and roll. The best food in all of Manhattan, I'm going to say, is Joe's Shanghai in Chinatown. The soup dumplings, everything you get there is just like truly delicious. I always recommend people go to the museums. That everyone who's been to New York has been to the Met and the Natural History Museum, but also you've never seen the entirety of it. I've been there every single time I find like a new thing. The Whitney.
I went to the Natural History Museum today through an entrance I'd never fucking been through before and was like I've been here so many times and I didn't know this was here. So I can relate to
that. Of course,
that one.
They mean the British Natural History Museum and they haven't warped across the Atlantic and gone to
Well, both of them are connected. There's a little tunnel that connects them, and that's how they send like dinosaur bones to each other. The Whitney is great. And then also Chelsea Market to grab a bite. There's all kinds of little places there. In like March of 2020, I had a day where I went to the Whitney with a friend and we walked down to Chelsea Market to grab some food. And I thought to myself, wow, I need to do this more often. And then March of 2020 happened.
Oh.
But as that opens up, I recommend that because that's good.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
Jasper says, this is a tough question. Well, we'll see if we can answer it.
Oh,
I've been thinking a lot lately about religion and its potential role in science.
Oh,
are any of you religious? What are your thoughts on religion and its relation to science? We are doing it because I do have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not religious. I don't think it has like a role in science per se, but it's hard to kind of articulate. But if you are religious and scientific, I don't think those things can't go hand in hand.
Yeah,
lots
totally.
Of lots of very prominent scientists have been religious or are religious, and that can work into your understanding of and belief of the world. So it's just, I don't think you can like, you know, look at a cell down a microscope and instead of looking a bit further think, nah, it's just God. As in,
I mean, you know what? I will say I know people. So I have a friend of mine who is Muslim and also double majored in physics and computer science and is a very scientifically minded person. I feel like religion and science have married each other very well in a lot of ways in this 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's you know, I'm not personally very religious, but I think that whatever way you find to make it work, and especially if it brings you comfort and community at the end of the day, I think those aspects
of course,
yeah, totally.
It's like I used to say I was an atheist, but actually I'm agnostic now because of the unanswerable, the currently unanswerable things in our universe scare me, and I need a possibility of an answer. So I'm like, you know, maybe. So
yeah. Totally.
All right, on to our next question. Rank your favorite religions. All right, I'll go first. Number one with a bullet. Gotta be.
You'll all be shocked to hear that. That is actually the second time Tom has made that joke.
And it just keeps getting funnier.
Subin says, hi, this podcast has been helping me be excited about and love science again after having been burnt by STEM. I'm now a second grade math and science teacher,
Wow!
No way.
Not my choice of subject. I think I'm just bound to STEM and academia. And I get to get my students excited about pollination and states of matter. Oh. As much as I love being both a student and a teacher, there is so much going on institutionally that really sucks the joy out of the learning.
Yeah.
My question is, how do you deal with burnout, specifically academic burnout? I think this might be useful for Caroline to answer, maybe me, because we've both recently been students.
For sure, yeah.
Oh, man. You see, the thing that every time I've experienced burnout in academia, I have then very quickly stopped being in academia.
Hmm.
And that was the only thing that really, having a break from it, between my undergrad and my master's, I had a 2-year time out from it, you know? So I don't know if I really have figured out the best way to deal with that.
I don't, you know, figuring that question out is always hard to burn out. Often people say take a step back, but that isn't always an option.
Totally.
And I stayed in, and I was pretty much consistently in academia until I finished my PhD, with a few exceptions. And what I found is that, like, taking a step back in my mind and looking at the bigger picture, I think you get really wrapped up in, like, the minutia of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're doing research, for example, and it's very, very niche. I think I would do, like, public engagement and outreach stuff with people who weren't in science. And seeing their wonder about science helped me feel happy and excited about science again. And I think what Subin is saying about teaching and seeing their, like, students be excited about stuff, that is super helpful. And doing this podcast also helps me.
Yeah.
Because I feel excited about things constantly and learning. And I can apply that into my own day-to-day life as well, because it's still all learning.
Yeah.
I think at least for me, when it comes to, like, tech and creative burnout, I feel like that being able to reach to a community that understands what you're going through, just to like be like, this is wild, right? And just even for someone who's like, yes, this is wild that these are the circumstances. To what Ella was saying, like having a separate outlet from it that brings you joy. Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks, Subin. Thanks for the kind words. Mod of Wrath asks, to Tom and Caroline.
Oh no.
Did either of you train for a year in order to finally beat Ella in battle?
No, I just got sicker. Come on.
I did 100 push-ups every single day.
I ran 100 miles.
I have a punching bag with Ella's face on it.
Tom, can you do one push-up?
Wow.
Why?
I've been climbing.
Dude, shots fired.
To clarify, I can't. So I was just
wondering. It was a genuine, like, question.
Like, no, it was comparing. Are we at the same level?
We've
or
never
are
seen you
beating
you
me right now.
We've never seen you from, like, the chest down. So as far as we know, you could be completely withered. Just jiggly little arms
and
legs.
Little, like, noodles.
No, I just got, I have,
there,
I have,
you know?
Just, like, two enormous horse legs that pedal me everywhere.
Are you like a kangaroo?
Yeah.
Like tiny little
arms. Has this never come up?
Huge legs that you could just, like, bam.
Marsupial, yeah. Got a little pouch. Keep some hot pockets in there.
Oh, lovely.
I have a tail
to stabilize. If someone could draw a picture of Tom with, like, really noodly little arms and absolutely beastly legs.
Oh, my God.
Put that in the Discord.
Please.
I'd really love that.
Can we have that as a
okay.
Me on the Zoom call, top half, and then below.
Yeah.
Centaur kangaroo.
So the next is a kind of combo question. I'll read both of them, but we can answer them together. So Dreamer asks, what's your process for creating episodes? So from recording to release, what happens? And Photon Nico asks, how do you make a podcast? Is it a good idea? Should I make a podcast? So we've talked before in the past, in our last Q&A episode, about how the podcast came into creation. So we won't cover that again. If you can go back and listen to that episode. But Tom, do you want to cover maybe how the process of our recordings and editing and all that kind of stuff? What do we do?
Yeah, so usually we will book some studio time in a Hollywood studio. The writer's room, usually they need at least like 4 or 5 months lead time to get the scripts to us.
Yeah, and we need writers on set at the time as well to do rewrites when we're not happy.
The other thing as well, I don't know if Tom and Ella are going to mention it, but like the private jets to get me and Ella to the recording studio every other week.
Be mentioning this. This is a really hot topic issue right
now.
With Taylor Swift and with Elon Musk, it's just like right now for private jets.
It's time for us to get canceled. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. This is really clever that the writers wrote this. Voice actors is another big issue.
We're all voice actors, actually. That would be so
dumb. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we will schedule a record time ahead of time to make sure, because like we said, we all have other things we gotta work on. Then we will individually write the topics, because I don't know if it's apparent, but like, we don't tell each other the topic ahead of time. Like, that is our genuine reactions.
Yes.
That's sort of the joy of that, is that we really are explaining it to the other people. And then we will record. It takes so long. We talk for so long.
Yeah, you hear most of what we record, but a good hour is cut out for just us kind of like talking and going and doing other stuff. I think an important part of this whole process, if you were thinking about making a podcast, is consistency. Even though we are very busy people, we just do things. We just get it done, and we kind of just book in times and mostly stick to them. Sometimes there are changes.
And we have for the past year, which is wild.
Yeah,
really
well
wild.
Done, guys.
Hey, good job, y'all. So we'll record, and then we will send over the audio files to whoever is editing that episode. Then that person will edit the episode, put in all the little things, and just do the editing, which is a lot of work. The editing is a lot of work, especially because we want to... You know, if this was just us goofing around, I feel like we could be a lot more lax on the editing. But because we are like saying quotes and we are trying to present ideas, it's just a little bit more than if we were all just like having a conversation.
Just on the editing front, so Tom does most of the editing. I occasionally edit, and very huge hats off to Tom, who is like a pro editor and can churn these things high quality out. I think I can do the similar quality, but it takes me like 3 times as long. Which why I'm doing it to try and learn, but Tom is an excellent editor, so we have very tight turnovers occasionally, not that often, because we try to be good about a little bit of lead time, which if you are making a podcast, then that's an important thing, you know, consistency in your in releasing and then making sure you have enough time to get to that release, have the final product on that release.
I know some shows will bank like many episodes ahead of time, and I wish we could do that. And if you can, I would recommend it. But I think just because of like length and our schedules, I think mostly our schedules, that's just like not really an option.
But also, it's not even that. It's just it takes so long for us to prepare for a topic. It would be almost impossible. Like if only we'd known how successful the podcast would be, then we could go back, tell ourselves to not release any and just do like 10 recordings. But here we are.
So I'll just wrap this up, and then we can transition into sort of like the whether or not you should start a podcast. But to just wrap it up, then we will, once the edit's done, we'll upload it to our various things, you know, like to the Maximum website, we use Simplecast, and then we can schedule that. Someone one time asked if I was up till 2 a.m. because it usually comes out at around 2 a.m. East Coast time, and was asking if I was up all the time. And the answer is no, not anymore. But for a little bit, sometimes I would. But now we can schedule them ahead of time a lot easier. And then the podcast comes out, and then and then it all over again.
It's a pretty standard. I think, you know, it's a pretty standard process. I think what makes our podcast good is that we try and hold ourselves to quite high standards. And we do have Tom to thank for that a lot of the time, who we've, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I appreciate.
So Photon Nico asked, is it a good idea? Should I make a podcast? And I'm going to keep this pretty simple. If you have something you want to talk about that you are passionate about, then why not? But it is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Even a short, obviously our podcast is insanely long and we have to do a lot of research for it. I think that all podcasts should be well researched, but that's not always going to happen. Maybe if you have like a more conversational one, but this is conversational. You have something better. All podcasts should be well researched. So, you know.
They're well researched and they're often a lot of work. If you are maybe a student who has more free time and you want to work on science communication skills or communication skills in general, if you want to add something to your CV with a lot of transferable skills. It's great for stuff like that. If you have a full-time job and you're in the office for 40 hours a week, you might want to consider if you can dedicate that much time to it.
I mean, the thing is, I was going to say, I think everything we've said is 100% true. I think in spite of that, I think the answer is almost always yes, just because you should give it a shot. Like,
it doesn't have to be, you know, like I said, we are holding ourselves to a very high standard. But if you just want to make a podcast and talk about things, you don't have to make it like we do.
It's and even, you know, I think it came up in the, it's come up once or twice, but like I did a podcast with some friends and it went absolutely nowhere. Like even our close friends didn't listen to it.
My close friends don't listen to this one. And this has gone somewhere.
But that failure was a ton of great experience for this. And even if we didn't end up doing this, it was great experience for like a handful of other things, for like how to write something, how to edit things like that. So
I'm literally applying for jobs based off of the experience I have with this podcast. Yeah. So
yeah,
the experience I have with this podcast, I think 100% at least got me through the door in getting an interview for the job I currently have, if not helped me. Well, it gave me a bunch of communication skills, which is essential for my job.
This podcast has increased my ability to talk with kind of ease about like topics loads. Yeah. I feel much more comfortable with this kind of thing. So even if just for that.
100%.
Yeah. Give it a go.
Scout asks, what other Max Fun podcasts do you enjoy? Are you planning on any crossover episodes with other Max Fun creators?
Well, it's so funny you say that.
When this was written, Ellen hadn't released it yet. So that was very exciting for all of us to be like, ooh, we're doing a thing. This is so exciting. We went and hung out with Ellen over at Just the Zoo of Us. And that was a delightful time.
It was very fun.
You should definitely go and check that out. But yeah, who else would we like to collab with?
Well, and also, I was on Troubled Waters, the game show, which was a lot of fun, and hopefully y'all will be on soon.
I refuse to acknowledge anything that you do on Max Fun without the other two of us, so
yes,
I will not be listening
to
that.
All three of us have to before it counts.
And it doesn't exist. I'm kidding, you should go and listen to Tom on Troubled Waters.
I will say, I mean, it's been so fun and easy and a delight to collaborate with everyone on Max Fun so far. They've all been just truly the sweetest. And we definitely have some thoughts and some plans for the new year. Some are solid, some are in the works, but it's definitely all in the works for the next year, which will be very exciting.
We're a big fan of multiple Max Fun shows. Hopefully one day we can. I don't want to say who they are just because in case it never like comes to fruition, but hopefully we'll be able to collab with some of these people in the future.
Yeah,
we're getting the McElroys to do science.
Yay! To be fair, Sawbones.
Oh, that is
like that's very doable.
That's McElroy, Sydney. Yeah.
And this is a good segue. Max Fun has been very good to us. And now you can be good to them.
Oh my
and
God.
Also us. by going over to maximumfun.org/join and become a member. And then you can just click on us in your little podcasty podcast bit and say you like us and you want to support us. We are closing our Patreon down once and for all at the end of this year.
Yep.
So your support would be much appreciated.
And if you like sort of sillier, looser episodes like this one, we have lots of bonus episodes for members that you can listen to right now.
Woo! PJ has noticed that Tom has an Outer Wilds hat. Do you have a favorite planet in the game? Why? Or do you have a favorite piece of music in the game? Or just any stories about the game? I love this game a lot, they say.
Wow. Yeah, it is my favorite video game, I think. It's just a great story and mechanic and puzzle, and it just warms my heart and also makes me go, wow. Favorite planet? Probably Brittle Hollow. I think that was the first one I went to, and just the...
Me too.
Have you played this game?
Oh, that was me! Oh, watching the joy in Tom's eyes.
And in that second, his heart grew two times and then shrunk back. No, I'm excited that you get to play it. That's how I feel.
Oh, that's nice.
Because what I would give to play that game again. Yeah, Brillo Hollow, I think, is also the least scary of all of them. And I don't know if I can pick a favorite song. They're all amazing in that. They all make me yearn for exploration.
Lovely. Thank you. Maybe I'll play it.
Ah. Yeah.
So coming up, we have a lot of questions asking about our favorite things and recommendations in general. What I'm going to say here is don't think too much about this or we will be here forever, okay? Right? So the first question is from The Bowtie again. Hello. What song / album / artist can you simply not get enough of at the moment? Which is a great question because I'm constantly having like obsessions with individual stuff.
This is the easiest answer in the world.
Go on.
Muna!
Oh,
Muna's new album is so good. It once again was at the top of my Spotify Wrapped. Mm. Just that whole album, their self-titled album that came out this year.
I really like Muna. Right now, what am I obsessed with? Gorillaz have a really good EP out that I cannot stop listening to over and over. I think their album next year is going to be really, really sick. Super excited for it. Also, Stromae,
they're great.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing, and has a newish album that's really, really good.
My friends saw them on tour, and the things they do on stage are
apparently looks sick.
The whole thing,
damn. For me, Nathan Apollo, he's a TikTok musician. AJR is my favorite band of all time. I'm always obsessed with them. The Stupendium is like, their music is so dumb and it just makes me really happy. Also, I am listening to a lot of Taylor Swift.
I have no idea who any of those people are, Caroline. which is weird. There's normally some overlap. Obviously, Taylor Swift. I didn't listen to her new album, though. Nothing against her. Just can't be bothered.
I'm really listening to all of her old songs at the moment.
So Wolfie asks something similar, but this is more about all time. Questions for the host. What are your favorite things? Video games, films, TV shows, songs, paintings, anything. This is... Let's see if we can do a quick run. If just think of the first thing that comes to your head. Even if it's not, that's okay. It's okay. It's one of your favorite things. You don't have to run.
Do you want to say all time? Can we say like this year?
This year. My favorites change all the time. So this year is fine.
Yeah. Actually,
this year is good. This is a 2022 wrap up. So why not?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Movie, easiest answer in the whole world. Everything Everywhere All at Once this year.
Okay. Good.
Absolutely.
I don't disagree with you. I can't think of another movie I liked more this year. So maybe. Maybe I think I agree with you.
I liked Nope a lot also. Nope was great, but
yeah, I thought it was okay.
I've not seen it.
Really?
Yeah, I've not seen it. I will say something that's horrifying, possibly. So this isn't necessarily my favorite film, but it's a film that I thought of because I watched it for the first time last week and I really, really enjoyed which was Elf.
Oh god.
I've never seen Elf before.
What's happening? What?
And I was just like, I think this is really funny and dumb, and therefore it's my favorite at the moment.
How did you avoid it?
I don't know. I just never watched it.
I mean, I'm happy for you.
But also, did Encanto come out this year?
No, I think it was last year.
You can say Encanto,
I really
though.
Don't watch many movies.
You can say, if it was your favourite film of this year, that's okay.
Yeah, probably was. I still really enjoy it.
Video game of this year.
Stardew Valley.
Yeah, nice.
Ooh, I have a new one this year I just started playing this year. You're going to hate me. And I'm going to be completely sincere with y'all and transparent. This is a safe space. Fucking Fortnite.
No way.
It's fine.
I've heard that it is kind of fun.
We started playing it with some of my friends as a joke, and then we kept playing it.
That's how it always begins.
But the reason it became my favorite game is because over Thanksgiving I was talking with one of my cousins, and he was like, you know, you do the like, oh, how's school? It's like, oh, it's fine, it's good. And then I was like, do you play Fortnite? He was like, do you play Fortnite? and then we proceeded to play a ton of Fortnite over that break.
That's sweet.
It's so basic, you know. It's a shooty run around game, but I think because so many people play it and because it is accessible in that way, I don't know, I do like it for that.
I only have a Switch, so I don't play many video games. So the only game I've played two games this year, basically, which and one of them is the new Pokemon game, which I actually...
Yes!
Solid choice.
Which I actually did really love. I know it got slammed because of all the glitches, but I loved it.
I thought the
story was really cute.
Yeah!
And I like the new mechanics, and I'm excited to see where they take that. And then I also played BioShock Infinite again on the Switch because they did a port for the Switch. And I love that game.
That?
Really good. I love it. I love that game.
I'm surprised it ports on the Switch. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta talk about our teams later.
We can talk about it a little bit more in a bit. So TV shows, favorite TV shows.
Our Flag Means Death was great.
Flag Means Death.
I've still not watched it.
Have you been spoiled?
Oh my god,
you're
gonna have an amazing time.
No,
yeah,
no,
nice.
I've literally
it's so exciting.
Not had any of it spoiled.
You have
for
so
me.
Many great things to watch. I'm jealous.
This isn't easy for me, which is Succession. Succession is not only my favorite show of this year, but of all time, and everyone should watch it. It's amazing. It's the best TV show I've ever seen. You should all watch it if you like political satirical drama. If not, probably not.
The Rehearsal was great. Super, super bizarre, wild.
I was gonna say the show that it's again not a show from this year, but a show that I watched for the first time was Fleabag this year, which
great.
Was delightful.
Crap.
Loved it. Also, I love Staged, which is a UK.
I know that.
David Tennant and Michael Sheen.
Oh, it's very fun. It was a lockdown thing. It's like a show filmed over Zoom.
Yeah.
Two more, really quick, very super quick. The most heartwarming shows this year for me is Craig of the Creek is a cartoon that is amazing. And then also I just finished this anime called Bocchi the Rock. That's just about this introvert who wants to start a band with their friends. It's very, I love it very dearly.
That's very cute.
And those two shows make me very happy. Yes.
I don't watch a lot of cute media, but maybe I should. Maybe I'll be less angry.
Get into
Best
it.
Sci-fi show of the year, Severance. Very, very good.
I need to watch that, yeah.
Also, if you're a fan of Drag Race, you should go and watch the Boulay Brothers Dragula, because it is a more inclusive and more artistic version of Drag Race.
Good to know.
Much more inclusive.
That.
I think it's a lot better, but it is horror-themed.
Oh,
which is a plus for me.
It's a huge. It's a huge plus, because the artistry that goes into it is incredible. So... A similar one. Hello, fabulous podcasters, says Percival Robin.
Hi. Hello, fabulous listener.
Oh, I have a heartwarming New Year question to ask. What is the last piece of media, music, film, video game, whatever, that has made you cry in a good way? And this one was really easy for me.
Likewise.
Well, I cry constantly over media all the time, so I can't actually remember. There's definitely one since this, but the one I distinctly remember crying at the last is Everything Everywhere. All at once.
Yeah.
I remember crying a lot because I was in the theater, in the cinema. But I'm sure I have cried since then. But I remember that one.
Yeah. I also remember openly weeping, just like in the theater.
Caroline?
Oh, for me, I watched a lot of Pixar films for the first time again this year. I was catching up whilst I was a student. So I sobbed like a baby to Soul, which is the Disney Pixar film. I sobbed like a baby to Encanto. And I also cry regularly to TikToks of animals dying.
Oh, why are you watching TikToks of animals dying?
Because it's like, oh, it's this animal's last day and we're going to make it this dog's like best day ever.
Every time
it's gut-wrenching. I'm like, no, yes, give him the cheeseburger.
I thought
please.
You were talking about like live leak videos.
No, oh my god, no.
I'm so sorry.
I was like, what's your for you page? Oh god. I will say I this is one of the few times I've cried over a book, but this is definitely also the favorite thing I've read this past year, is there's this manga series called Yotsuba. It's relatively old, but the most recent one came out pretty recently, and it's just about a kid. It has a big like Calvin and Hobbes energy. Like, it makes me laugh out loud all the time. It also sort of reminds me of the show Bluey a little bit. And then what's amazing about it is this, at the time I was watching Better Call Saul while I was reading it. And like, Better Call Saul is like, it's like such a formula of like, a good thing happens to someone and then a bad thing happens to someone. And it's just like so miserable. And then I would read this and it's like, she wants to make pancakes, but she's not very good at it. And so then her dad takes the time to teach her, and then she makes a pancake, and suddenly I'm crying for some reason. It's just such a wholesome thing. And then there's two arcs at the end about her grandma and her growing up that literally I almost started crying when a friend of mine was reading it, and I was thinking about reading it.
Oh, Tom, that's so sweet.
It's really good.
So TikTok actually does make me cry all the time. Although really? I can never remember specifics, but one of the specific ones I remember, like, this is a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to read this poem to you. That someone...
What a Wonderful World girl.
No.
Oh, I cry every time. No. I cry every letter.
This is a poem that someone had, not animated, but, like, drawn, like, beautiful illustrations for and put on TikTok. It's called The Two-Headed Calf by Laura Gilpin.
Oh, I love this one. I do know this one.
Tomorrow, when the farm boy finds this freak of nature, they'll wrap his body in newspaper and carry him to the museum. But tonight he is alive and in the North Fields. Oh, my God. But tonight he is alive and in the North Field with his mother. It is a perfect summer evening, the moon rising over the orchard, the wind in the grass, and he stares into the sky. And as he stares into the sky, there are twice as many stars as usual. I don't know why, the illustrations were so good. I think I'm emotionally unstable.
Who here cried when Noodle died, when Pot Roast died, and when God,
which one's Noodle?
One.
Noodle the bones.
Bones. The pug, I didn't know it was dead.
Well, have I got some news for
sorry.
You?
Sorry.
No, I don't cry over, like, the animals. Like, I get really upset for the owners. Like, I think I like that. Mm. I find it really...
Oh, my God, yeah. No, there was Pot Roast Mom posted, like, a little poem from, like, it was, like, the 3-month anniversary of Pot Roast dying. Oh, no, now I'm going to start crying.
Why are you doing this first?
And she was just like she was like, oh, one morning I woke up and, like, remembered I had to buy you cat food, and then I rolled out about half
it.
An hour later,
hey,
and realized that you weren't there anymore. And I was
Hey, everyone, yeah. Everyone, hug everyone that you love dearly for us today. Please do that for
okay,
us.
Okay, let's move on, because I'm literally crying.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What are some web... Sorry, personal... Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Shush!
Oh, God.
Okay. Personal Robin did end that with, thank you a lot for the podcast. It's really sweet and cool and fun. Thank you so much. Don't make me cry.
Thanks, y'all. Oh, something that is also the reviews and everyone who says nice things also.
Yeah, I have actually cried over those reviews before.
Okay.
George Rohack says, what are some webcomics you've enjoyed over the years? I've never read a webcomic in my life. I assume Tom has. Let's go.
I have an easy answer for this personally. And it's one of those ones that it's very strange, but you'll have to trust me. And it's called Scoob and Shag. One of my favorite media things, period, because of what they do with it. And it is very, it's something you can only do on a webcomic. And so if you can trust me enough to read, the first bit of it, but it's a perfect example of, why webcomics can do all kinds of, break all the rules, because they can just, do whatever they want, which is really great. I love that series.
Rin asks, what's your favorite unusual dessert or meal?
Unusual?
Ooh. Yes, specifically unusual.
Dessert or meal? Ooh.
I don't think I have any. I think I'm pretty standard. I'm a standard. Yeah. I'm a basic person. I do anchovies.
Love bubble tea. Okay, that's something.
Good. Anchovies are in small quantities. I'm into it.
I do have I've been very big into pandan, which is this plant in Southeast Asia, and I've been finding it in desserts, and I've been trying to seek it out. It's just a very unique, earthy sort of flavor, and anytime I see it, I try to get it in whatever it is. If you guys can Google it, it's super green, which is great. Pandan. Pandan.
I don't know if this is unusual, but I drink probably about a liter of Coke Zero a day. So
I didn't know this about you.
Like, it's crazy. I drink so much of it.
Okay. My weird one, again, on the drinking front, because I'm sick all the time at the moment because I work with kids, I've started like getting those little dissolvable vitamin C that you put
disgusting.
Into. I freaking love them.
Ugh, that's horrible.
I will drink like liters of that shit. I don't know why, but I just, it does something to my brain, I think, at this point. Yeah, I love it.
Okay, gross. PJ asks again, is there a book you wished everyone would read? There isn't a book I wish everyone would read. I'm not like one of these people who's like, you have to read this for your mind to be complete. Oh, wait, no. No, I'm kidding.
I will say, and maybe Ella will agree, I do think that Caitlin Dowdy's books have been of, in terms of like, I wish everyone could read, I do wish everyone had that sort of reflection and contemplation about death and understanding of it. That is sort of like a thing I wish everyone knew about or had the time to like sit and read and think about.
I don't have anything that I wish other people would read. I have because my favorite books are so like particular to my taste. Because my favorite book ever in the whole world is Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen.
Oh, interesting.
I do wish more people would read it in the sense that it can feel inaccessible because it seems like, you know, it was written so long ago.
Yeah.
But it is an excellent narrative and storytelling, and I think it's really wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, if you like manga, if you like horror, actually, this is a bit. So if you like horror in any way, we've already talked about this. I can't. Never mind. I want is for people to Jujito, because I feel like it's a section. It's just a section of horror that people like disregard because it's
that's true.
Drawn anyway. That doesn't matter. Kit says, I don't know how much y'all like Pokemon, but if you do, what's your favorite Pokemon?
Oh my god.
It's Eevee and all of Eeveelutions. Thank you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in the new Pokemon game, you can get all of the Eeveelutions or most of them.
My answer is Porygon, the little computer bird.
Aww.
But I will say, this game, the latest game, has a strong contender, which has got to be Tandem Mouse. You remember?
No.
No.
Look at that. Tandem Mouse and then M-A-U-S. It's just two mice. It's so ridiculous.
Aww.
But it's so cute. It's just so cute.
Oh, here it is.
And then the evolved form is the two mice with two little baby mice.
Aww.
I don't think I've seen this before.
I can't believe I haven't caught this, because I'm like an obsessive catcher. Like, I catch every single Pokemon I come across.
They are a little rare, but
I don't think I've seen it. That's dumb.
That's why I love it.
It's just two Pokemon. Do you ever think about Mr. Mime?
I try not to.
I think about him a lot.
I fucking hate Mr. Mime.
Mr. Mime is a man.
Mr. Mime and Jinx feels too human for me.
He's just a man who exists.
Yeah.
And he says he's a Pokemon. Uh-huh. That's fucked up. That's creepy. That's creepy as fuck.
Agreed.
Oh, God.
Mine is Chimchar, just because it was the first Pokemon.
Cute.
I didn't play Pokemon until I was a bit older, and that was the first.
Also, you
starter.
Are like 12 years old, to be fair.
Yeah, I am. I'm so sorry.
But the best Pokemon in the new game, based on my what TikTok has taught me, is Quaquaval.
Oh, yep.
It's the final evolution of the duck starter.
Have you seen that?
The videos on TikTok.
Oh my god, what the fuck is that thing?
I'm on very queer TikTok, so it's basically queer people being obsessed with this Pokemon because of how like camp and ephemera it is.
Yeah.
And putting like what do they call
Why
them?
Do ball? His little hands do?
He runs around and like makes he does like Vogue moves and stuff. He's amazing.
Oh my god, I love that. Okay, that's fun.
Anyway, okay, Jesus Christ. So that section, that media and other favorite things section is over. Thank you for, I've written down here, thank you for your brevity / I am displeased with your lack of brevity. So whichever one of those fits.
you should have known which one that would fall on.
It could happen to you. You're all grown up now, a professional adult with diverse interests and hobbies. And one of those hobbies is video games.
You just can't help it. They're so good now.
If that's you, we're here to tell you, you are completely normal.
I'm Maddie Myers.
I'm Jason Schreier.
And I'm Kirk Hamilton, and together we form Triple Click, a podcast about video games.
If you think you might be a person who likes video games, we hope you'll give Triple Click a listen.
Triple Click, new episodes every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
RB asks, what's your advice for an academic who wants to get more involved with SciComm, specifically in terms of communicating their own research?
Ooh.
I feel like I might be quite helpful here because I have done it.
Yeah, maybe you should go for it.
Also, this is my job.
Yeah.
I could talk about this for a long time. I literally give training to academics to help them communicate their research. But basically, what I advise doing is finding like a thread within, don't go too specific, find a thread within your research that is accessible and start there. Come up with a physical way for people to interact with that, like an activity. Obviously think about your audience. If it's kids, that's going to be a lot easier. If they are adults, it's a bit harder. But even adults, they find it easier to engage with science if they are doing something like physical with it. So for example, one of the things I do in my job is we've converted research, real research images, into embroidery patterns. Then we then do embroidery workshops where people come and sit down and they embroider the stem cell images. And when we talk about the research that's going on and what the images are, is really great. So having
that's
these,
really cool.
Yeah,
and getting more involved in SciComm. I bet the university you have has SciComm going on. Start going to those events and volunteering, and then you'll learn who the networks that you can get help from, the funding you can get help from. Mm. It's going to be different depending on where you are. And you'll get lots of ideas about how other people do it. Just go and do some of it, and then you can see how other people do it. But I think I would say if you're doing it based on your own research specifically, you come up with some kind of activity, physical activity. Mm. There you go.
I will also always throw TikTok out there as a great place if you want to
do science
communication. Maybe not necessarily about your own research, but if that's something you want to practice, it is a really great place. Like, as long as you're not being an asshole on the internet, it's not the end of the world if it doesn't work out for you on there. So I would totally recommend that.
Yeah, if you're going to talk, if you just want to talk about your research, that's a good place to do it. But people, just be aware, people aren't just going to sit and listen to you talk about straight research.
Yeah.
You probably want to find interesting facets within it, within your field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, Alolan Raichu. Sorry, I might have been thinking about...
Yeah.
Sorry.
For sake.
Huh?
I also like Alolan Raichu. Yeah. Squinting Loudly, this is a great question, asks...
Great username.
Who is the most likely to come up with the most unnecessary, complicated plan to take over the world?
Wow.
Tom.
Yeah. I would rank him. Here's how I would rank levels of complex for plans to take over the world. From the least complex, Caroline. Not because they couldn't do it, but because they don't want to. And they won't try.
No, actually, I was going to say the exact same thing. I'm just not going to... I'm too busy to try, and therefore I won't.
Me? Then mean the next step up. I want to take over the world. I'm going to do it with the most straightforward aggression humanly possible.
Here's the thing.
Yeah. Tom doesn't want to do it.
I might do it just because it's complicated.
Yeah. Tom is only doing this because it's an assignment.
Uh-huh.
Someone says, Tom, can you do this for me in the most complicated way possible? And he's like, yes, let's go.
I feel like Tom started researching techniques for taking over the world and then ended up in such a wormhole about learning about it that like he just had to follow through with it. And now you're talking on the podcast for 2 hours.
Oh, gosh. Jesus Christ.
As soon as I saw that question, I was like, very obvious. Very obvious.
Wow, yeah, that's totally funny. And that's why we make a perfect podcast.
Bean Snowspring asks, how many topic ideas do you get that overlap? And what's the threshold to return to a topic without having to repeat too much of the content of a previous episode?
Hmm.
Starting with that first question, how many topic ideas do you get that overlap? So far, almost none.
We've been really lucky,
which
I think.
Which is pretty wild, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah.
I don't think it is as wild as you think. We have very broadly different interest areas.
Yeah, and if the scope is literally everything.
Yeah, yeah. We've had it where I think we've been aware that a few people have been interested in doing a topic like Pluto. Both me and Tom were interested in talking about Pluto, and I just happened to get in there first.
Yeah, and with speedrunning, I asked Tom first, is it okay that I do this? Because I knew already he was interested in it. But generally, it's not an issue. And I don't know if you want to...
Yeah, it's just recently we have started to check with a third party just to be like, if our topics happen to overlap, especially around themed episodes, like with the Halloween one, we wanted to make sure we didn't cover when we narrow like that. But I will say, I think in the past, I've been very... careful or very like stringent to be like, oh, we've covered something similar, I shouldn't do this or that because it's like too similar to X, Y, or Z. But as we've done more, I feel like above all, the most important thing is for it to be, when we're writing topics, is for it to be something that we care very much about. And so I think when it comes to like deciding if a topic is too similar or not, sometimes I'll get in my head and be like, oh, like technically like this or that we like kind of mentioned before. But like if it's something, the thing that gets me as like a listener to a topic most excited is seeing the topic reader being excited.
Mm. I like seeing the approach. Like I think that is, I think we could all cover the same topic. We could all be given the same brief. And it would come out differently because we approach
which
things.
Which could be an interesting.
I was just that thinking could be interesting.
We cover things so differently, which is one of the things I think keeps the podcast exciting. We always have different approaches,
totally.
And it
100%.
Comes out. And that's one of the reasons why we record for so long, even when we think it's going to be short, because you could think it's going to go one way, and it will just not go that way in the
100%.
End, because someone has a completely different view from you. And that can work both to your favor and against it sometimes.
Yeah.
RB asks, what's your favorite area of science to read about that isn't your own area?
Ooh.
I mean, anything space related always gets me really excited. I just think it's fun
say
to
the
learn
same
about
thing.
It.
I think it's space too, because I know the least about it technically. So I don't overthink it when I'm reading about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm almost not thinking about the science, like the real, the intricacies of the science. I'm just thinking, oh, that's cool.
Uh-huh. I also feel like I'm very lucky with, again, where I work. I have access to a lot of people who know a lot more about space than I do. And therefore, it's great to listen to those people talking about science and then be like, I'm going to go and learn about that when I get home, you know? So I still have that, like, joy about it.
Yeah.
Which I guess somebody who studied it probably wouldn't have.
Yeah. I think I do love space. I think weirdly, so my two answers is, and I just think back to, like, the topics that I loved the most. Weirdly, lots of chemistry stuff I find very interesting. And also, weirdly, lots of plant science I find super interesting.
Oh, I love plant science.
Yeah.
Love Get plant science.
It. Join me on the dark side, bitches. Let's go.
When the carbon dating episode, just learning about like how the tree science was used in conjunction with like nuclear chemistry science, I was like, this is the best. Yeah.
Oh, also social sciences like psychology.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got enough of that in college personally. But I mean, that's
it's an up and cut. I know psychology's been around for a while, but as in as a actual science, testable
for sure.
science, it's still reasonably new. So it's very, I find it really interesting to see how they test for things and like standardize things. That's for like from my own kind of like scientific background. That's something I find quite interesting.
Yeah.
H/H asks, if you could study a fictional science field or science field that's not around yet, like what we've seen in fantasy or sci-fi movies, novels, what would it be? They give some examples: evolutionary xenobiology, AI post-singularity psychology, time travel metaphysics.
Oh, AI psychology is very interesting. Yeah.
I feel like that would be one of those topics that would, you know how like space is scary sometimes and puts you in a position of just existential dread?
Yeah.
That's what AI psychology does to me.
Can I tell you? For me, it's the complete opposite because I feel like there's a lot of cognitive science that is like, what if a computer could think this and this and this? And so the idea that like we could treat it like just psychology and just run regular experiments on these things that are like thought experiments is like, oh, that would be so cool, you know, instead of having to be like, but what if your car could think about this? We'd just be like, well, let's just do that. Let's just do that experiment on stuff.
I'm reading a book right now called Children of Time. And the concept of the book is basically that humans are terraforming other planets. And one of the things they're doing is they're putting monkeys. The science is a bit weird. I don't quite think it's great, but they're putting these monkeys onto the planet, and then they're putting a virus which can speed up evolution by selecting for specific genetic traits that are advantageous and kind of causing the most advantageous individuals to mate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is it goes wrong and the spiders get infected with this virus.
It goes wrong?
Whoa!
Anyway, so they become super evolved spiders. It's a really good book. I really liked this like weird, this idea of the science of like using virus. We do it now, viruses to do genetic modification. Mm. So like this idea of this really far concept in the future where you can use viruses to speed up evolution or like to choose multiple traits to make like, obviously this gets a bit
eugenics-y.
Yeah, it gets a bit eugenics-y, but maybe in a less human way and more for like crops or things that we need, you know.
I mean, and it sounds like a very straightforward way to take over the world. Anyway, my answer is I realize I do have an answer. It would be faster than light travel, because I feel like that is it just like the idea that you could just like go anywhere in the universe would be like the coolest thing.
Preserving people for long haul space travel is something I find really, really interesting.
Well, and that's like borderline, right? Like present.
Maybe, I don't know. There's a book I read a couple of months ago by Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian. So like it's quite like hard sci-fi. Mm-hmm. Can't remember what this is called. Project Hail Mary. There is like a long haul space travel. There's some faster than light travel stuff there, which I found really interesting. But basically, the system they had for like preserving them was basically just like a very elaborate coma machine.
Oh, that's interesting.
Kind of like fed them slop and moved their limbs around so they wouldn't have muscle wasting.
It's
and this kind
like
of thing.
It's not like
a was, like,
carbonite thing where they like.
Exactly. Yeah, huh. It was like the most realistic version that
that's
I'd
really
heard of. And I was
And
I was like, oh, this is very good. And there's only three people on the ship and only one survived because it was such a like a technically risky system to use. Because they talked about the genetics of who. This is a real thing, like there are genetics associated with who is more likely to like come out of a coma.
Wow.
That's fucked.
Now that's using science for plot, baby. Wow.
They accelerated this far beyond this, but like they found, they're saying in the book, they found like these certain genetic traits that meant you're more likely to come out of this long haul coma.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, God, this is so great. So using genetics to like understand human, like these intricacies of humans, I find the future of genetics is like going to be amazingly scary and incredible.
Yeah.
For me, it would be like in a future world where there's no plants left, like how humans either reintroduce plants to Earth or like how they are continuing their oxygen production. And
so kind of terraforming.
Like re-terraforming Earth, like, like
but
that
the, but
sort of
I
stuff.
Reckon the same things would apply, right? Maybe,
probably, yeah, you're
it
right.
It also makes me think of
so, yeah, that'd be interesting.
The like seed banks and stuff like that.
Oh, seed banks are so interesting.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Also, the images of this seed vault are so cool. Like, it looks so futuristic.
Oh, this would be a great topic.
Yeah.
Maybe
we'll
fuck
have
you.
To fight over this one.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a great topic.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we come up with ideas for the podcast, everybody. pretty much that's it.
Our final question of the episode is from Jill Bates. And the question is, what happens to the podcast after we learn everything? What happens, guys?
Yeah, so we're forecasted to finish everything by 2024, I think. Yeah, so we should probably be ready for that eventuality. We're almost there. Almost everything.
2024?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's late. I was thinking mid-2023.
Oh, really? Yeah, we could probably get there if we.
After that, we never talk to each other again.
We're
speed running everything so we can stop communicating.
Yeah. or we all start a nice, cute little what's the game called?
Minecraft?
No, not that one.
Stardew Valley?
Terraria.
Animal Crossing. We're all going to have a little Animal Crossings thing together, and that's just going to be it. Every 2 weeks, you're going to watch us play Animal Crossings instead.
That just sounds so nice.
We become professional ASMR speedrunners. Oh, hold on. Is that a thing people do? ASMR speedrunning?
What a good idea.
And that's how we come up with topics and jobs.
In a kind of serious answer to this question, I always thought that if we ever were like, I can't think of any more science to talk about, which what are the chances of that? We could just talk about other things because we have, in fact, opened ourselves up to everything by calling the podcast Let's Learn Everything.
Yeah.
We are science communicators primarily, but we like other things too. So basically, never is the answer to that. We will never know everything.
Hi guys, my topic today is this pink pad of sticky notes. So I'm very excited to talk about
that. You say that, and I bet you could talk about that for 2 hours.
What's your guys' familiarity with this specific pink pad of sticky notes?
I mean, I've never come across that pink pad of sticky notes before because it is actually in America, and I've never been, and so that's, which is crazy, right?
And America is a thing we covered in episode 3204, if you guys remember.
Yeah.
Being places was we covered in episode 427.
Oh wow, was that long ago now?
And we covered the adhesive on the back of that sticky note in episode 12 when Caroline talked about stickers
and the color pink. Oh yeah, we actually did. Oh no.
Yeah, that was a Ella, did you look that up whilst me and Tom were being fucking idiots?
No, I don't know if it was episode 12. I just
I've got to find out.
We covered referencing previous episodes in episode 402.
Ella, it was episode 12.
Wow. No way!
Someone listens to our podcast.
That's so funny.
Another thing I was going to say is when we hit everything, we start back up at episode 1. Temporal illusions, baby.
Yay!
Lord knows we're not going to... If we cover everything, we're not going to remember it all, so we might as well...
That's true. We'll just start again.
We'll just start 2.0 everything. Oh, gosh. The idea of us re-recording the first episode again is interesting, just the idea of us now and then. I haven't listened to the first episode in so long.
Yeah. I feel like I need a break in between.
Us starting entirely over, Caroline?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't think us completing everything warrants a hiatus?
I was just thinking, like, if we ever were to revisit an episode, I need a solid fucking break in between the last record and that record, you know? I think it could be fun to revisit topics.
Maybe one day.
That's a future. That's future us.
We should probably wrap this up.
Yes.
Let'sLearnEverythingPod.com. If you want us, we're there. Everything's there. We love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. It's been a year.
It's been a crazy year.
A lot of stuff has happened.
We did how many episodes this year?
Yeah, so I wrote this out. Well, let me show you how many topics we did. Give me a second.
Oh,
I counted.
No.
Yeah, and I put it together like a Spotify Wrapped. Do. Here we go. Hey, have you been watching Beauty and the Beast? Because we'd like you to be our guest. This year, you had 3 guests on the show.
Fun.
Talk about topical. Uh-huh. You guys researched 54 topics.
54?
That is a lot.
Hey, want to network? Because you joined one podcast network this year.
Fuck's sake.
fucking
are you done?
Yeah, that's it. I thought it was funny.
It was funny. I almost ended up doing something like that, but I thought Tom will probably do it. So.
I gotta rule the world. I don't got time to do this. Tom will do it. it's been a wild year with y'all, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
And it's always great to do these little episodes where
I do love learning about y'all, so it is really fun to do these.
Oh yeah, so do I.
And it's been great. It's been a wild year. Looking forward to the next one.
And if you, you know, have supported us through Patreon or through MaxFun, obviously, thank you so much. We appreciate it a lot.
Truly.
But even if you just listen this far into the episode.
Oh my God, if you make it to the end of one episode, we are so grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Really is appreciated. And just so you know, at the end, after the credits, there's like another bit, like a fun bit. So you should listen to that as well. I wonder if who listens to that far into the episode.
I feel like most people do.
Most people? Or do you think that because you would do it?
Interesting. Yeah. Can I ask one really quick question? What are you guys looking forward to next year? Is there anything in particular? I have my two answers, clear as day.
Like podcast related?
Or just anything. Podcast related. Yeah, podcast or not podcast related. Guys, there's one answer. There's one answer and one answer only. It's Breath of the Wild 2. Baby, let's go!
Oh my god. Oh my god, I am so excited for Breath of the Wild 2. It's unreal. Do you know how much speedrunning is going to come out of that? I'm so excited to play. I'm less excited to play it than I am to watch people speedrunning it.
The first one has been just like an infinite bounty of like, Also, the new Spider-Verse movie.
Succession Season 4.
I'm looking forward to, I get to do some cool stuff at work next year. So that'll be fun. I'm going to learn how to do big chemistry experiments in front of kids. And that's going to be great.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited. 14th of Jan, I finished that training. So that's going to be the first thing I do in the new year. I might get a car next year. And that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's very telling that your things are like real life changeable things. And I'm and Tom and I are like, video games!
Otherwise, who knows what's going to happen next year? I feel like a lot of stuff that happened this year would not have put money on it.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to whatever happens. Also, we have a few guests that we're talking to, some more lined up, and some that we're looking forward to that I am very excited for. That will be very fun.
Of course,
Yeah, definitely.
You know what? I'm gonna put it into the ether. I would like to see you all physically next year.
Oh my goodness! Oh, yes. Yeah, that's such a good idea.
Oh yeah. I'm down for that.
I've said it, and so it will be done. So now that I've said it, even if it means that next year's Q&A episode is when I see you all, it will happen at some point next year.
Yeah. Live show? Maybe live show? Live show?
Yes.
Live show maybe next year?
If you would like a live show.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, one other thing I'm excited for is the Max Fun Drive this year that we're going to be a part of.
Yeah!
I've always loved that time of year, and now we get to be on
the other side
of that, which is very fun. We've done a lot of work.
We've already made some great content for the Max Fun Drive as well. I'm very excited for you guys to see some of that. Really good content. Really dumb content.
Oh, exciting. One final housekeeping note before we wrap up is that we're going to be taking one extra week before we release the next episode, just so that we have time to see our families, take a good holiday rest, and to give us time to prep for the first few episodes of the new year. So the next episode will drop Thursday, January 19th. Thanks all.
So today we learned that Ella is still the most likely to win in a fight.
For now.
We learned.
And join us next time!
We learned that Tom, Ella, and Caroline all have a lot of favorite things that you should go and watch and read and listen to.
We really could have gone on for so long.
We also learned the process, the intricacies of creating an episode of Let's Learn Everything, a beautiful and wonderful process. And we learned that we're really excited for lots of things in 2023 when LLE will be back bigger and better than ever. Baby,
we're going to be well rested. We're going to have our shit together. It's going to be amazing.
It'll be amazing. Please join us next year where we will learn everything. Let's learn everything. Gaming is a Maximum Fun podcast hosted and produced by Ella Hubber, Tom Lum, and Caroline Roper, with editing and music by the wonderful and talented Tom Lum. Yeah, I'm going to go and exercise after this.
Nice.
Ew. Why? No.
I was supposed to do it before the podcast, but I had a nap instead.
Now that's my kind of thing right there. There we go. This is why I wouldn't take over the world.
Oh my god.
Because I could take a nap instead.
I would take the nap, get up, then take over the world.
Oh my god.
And Tom would do it pre-nap.
Yeah, and I would lose sleep over a pointless thing that isn't worth anything.
I would take a nap and then go and eat a mince pie. Yeah. Just have a watch Elf again. That would be it.
I cannot believe that. That's so funny. Jesus Christ, Caroline. Have you guys heard about It's a Wonderful Life? It's a wonderful movie.
Have you guys heard of, I've forgotten all the movies. Great.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.